for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, thank you for joining us. This is another edition of The Warm Down, and he's joining me.
The Warm Down.
It's The Warm Down, yeah.
How you doing? You didn't even go out last night.
So you're what?
You're saying absolute rubbish like that.
Yeah. It's dead hot in that coffee shop over the road. It absolutely melts my brain. You all right?
No, I'm very hungover today.
Yeah, you are very hungover. Right, so this is going up after this morning's game where we haven't obviously seen it, so we're just going to completely ignore that shit. Where hopefully someone's had an unbelievable game and that's all everyone's talking about. But obviously United are currently in the middle of a pre-season tour and Jose's not making everybody feel warm and fuzzy inside at the moment. The shit he's saying is mental, isn't it?
Why?
What do you mean?
Why is everyone getting so upset about
pre-season
tour?
No, look what he's... No, I'm not asked about the pre-season tour, but look what he's saying as manager.
He always says stuff. He reads too much
into it. This is bad. This is very bad. That's very bad. And you're like, can I, mate?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he's doing it for a reason.
Yeah, but it's attitude. Yeah, but it's attitude, isn't it? You come in and you go, yeah, do you know what? We haven't got everyone that we want in terms of like those that have gone far at the World Cup. Congratulations to those on doing that. But here we are with some young lads that are about to tear the strips off the world. That's the way you would like, or I would have liked Jose to come in. But instead he's just like, yeah, everything's shit, basically.
But then that's kind of him as a manager. That's what he does. He does this, you know, this...
Well, it doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's almost as like United fans at the moment, they're just angry. Like, why is everyone so angry about stuff?
We're partly because of that. Partly because of that.
We're the best club in the world. We've won 13 Premier League titles. We've won the Champions League twice. Surely we should be having a good time every single day of the week. And that's the frustrating thing. Like, I tweet stuff out on my Twitter account, like, let me get the stat up, because again it got some real bad reaction. It's one of these things where I feel like the media side of football at the moment with the United is all negative.
We are falling
into what the Daily Mail are writing and what that other absolute...
Oh no, mate, because I look at this with my own eyes and I say Jose doesn't help the matter. If he'd have come out and said positive shit, it'd have been received in a different
way. For example, right, the last time Man United finished second and didn't go on to win the league, the following year was in the 1987-88 season. Since then, the club have been runners-up six times, and then they've won the league and been champions the next time. The response to this, with so many negative people being like, oh, but Jose, oh, because we haven't bought anyone, because we haven't done this, because we haven't done that. Like, we can't celebrate someone like Chong, Angel Gomez and Mason Greenwood when half of these comments that I'm getting on a Man United positive tweet is, we need to sign someone. Why do we need to sign someone? Football isn't just about buying people.
No, I absolutely agree. Do you know who else hasn't signed? I mean, we've signed Stoke's second choice goalkeeper, we've signed a Brazilian midfielder and we've signed a backup fullback, right? Do you know that is 100% better than what Tottenham have done? Who've signed, yeah,
but the same,
at the moment,
at the same time,
literally nobody.
What do we need? A fullback and a central midfielder. And we've done that.
Delo's not going to be first choice. Delo's not going to be first choice.
Delo will be first choice.
Not this season.
The guy is so talented. He will be first choice at the end of the season.
I disagree with you.
I'll put a bet on right now, £50 to the charity of your choice, that Delo will be starting either left back or right back at the end of the season.
We're going to have to talk consecutive games here. You can't just
start
a game.
So, for example, at the end of the season, if he's played a consistent amount of games towards the end of the season and he finishes on the last day of the season playing left-back or right-back for Manchester United, Delo is become a starter. We know what becoming a starter is.
Yeah, you can't just say he started a game and that was him as a starter.
Cherry, let's do it.
I do not think Delo has been brought as a starter for this season.
It doesn't matter, man. Watching him, I'm so excited about him. Watching Fred, I'm so excited about him. This is the weird thing, because nobody knows anything about Delo. Nobody knows anything about Fred, because they can't be fucking asked to go and watch him.
No, but I have watched him, and I'm happy with those signings.
Yeah, they're wonderful signings. Really good signings.
And I think Heath Chong, the performance that we have seen,
yeah,
he was a highlight of that game, which was a pretty turgid game.
Yeah.
It was great to see at the end there, Greenwood, Gomez, and Chong as the forward three. I mean, that could literally be playing in under-19s for us this season in Europe, which is brilliant.
Because the big thing here, right, you know, there's all this talk about United need a right winger. United need a right winger. I've played to it. I've done videos on right wingers United could sign. But at the end of the day, you don't need a right winger.
No, I don't think we need a right winger.
100% we don't need it. We got Angel Gomez. We have Jesse Lingard. Let's not forget Jesse Lingard.
No, I think Jesse Lingard has earned his right to be the star.
Arguably the second best player or third best player behind Lukaku and David De Gea last season in terms of what he did, in terms of the goals he scored in the big games, in terms of his impact, his work. Jesse Lingard's right wing for me. Then you got Chong, you got Gomez, you got so many other players that could come in. And it's almost this media hype that we want to sign a Galactico.
That's what people mean.
You know what? We're not going to have that. With this new guy coming in from Juventus, Javier Ribalta, whatever he's called.
Ribalta, yeah.
we ain't going to sign Galacticos anymore. We're going to make smart signings like Fred, like Delone.
I think it'll be both. I think, and that might be the best thing for us. I think you're going to find Ribalta's input, but you're going to have the money men's input.
But then
as
we
well.
don't the money men's
That's
input,
United.
They're the signings that arguably haven't done as great. Sanchez, great example of that. That's a money man signing.
I don't know if he was.
100% that's a money man signing. Paul Pogba hasn't hit the same heights at Manchester United as he has for France, let's say, as he had for Juventus. He's been very, very good, but not the same heights. He's not carrying Manchester United. Another big man signing. The signings that have done well for United are the signings that have kind of gone beneath the radar in recent years. And we're like, that's a good player that's come in. Now he's a first team.
Matic was an excellent signing.
Matic was a great example.
Bay was an excellent signing.
He's
kind of
more of a smart signing than a money man signing.
I mean, it was an enormous amount of money.
Oh, no, 100%,
but he was exactly what Jose needed.
It's not like a, you know, you're not Gareth Bale, you're not getting someone like that that's like this Galactico. It's Lukaku, and the reason why Lukaku's been so good is because he's worked really hard. And that's the thing we forget in football, is that for to be a successful team you have to work hard, and having Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo and fucking Luis Figo in your team all together might not work.
But it didn't work for that Galactico. The team that everyone harks back to, the Galactico era Real Madrid team, was a massive underachiever. They had original Ronaldo, Figo, Hierro, Raul, Beckham, Zidane. This team, you should have been able to just turn up and annihilate teams.
100%. Go back to what you said then, because it was a bit stupid, because obviously Real had Bale and Ronaldo, but they have Casemiro in there. They have players like Danny Carvajal. They have like Sergio Ramos before he's really, truly rated. You have these guys that are like doing the hard graft and the hard yards. And in a way, that's what United need to sign. Like Fred, like Delow.
Look
at European football right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I rate about 4 or 5 fullbacks that actually think that are worth that money. Alexandro?
No.
Like, from watching Alexandro more and more, I'm starting to think he's not as good as I think he is.
I think Philip Max was the one.
I think Philip Max defensively is absolutely rubbish as well.
Again, as a United fullback, attacking is probably going to be more what you're judging.
The guy's concentration is atrocious. And that's something you can't have. Then that's why Delow is such an exciting signing, because
he's got it both. He is
one of the best young fullbacks in world football, and we bought him, and we have him at 19 years old, and we have him under Mourinho, who's very, very good when dealing with defenders. That's an exciting signing, because you go out into the market and you're like, right, who are we going to buy at right back? Oh, Joshua Kimmich. The best right back in world football. You ain't going to sign him from Bayern. David Alba, you're not going to sign him from Bayern Munich. Jordi Alba, not going to sign him from Barcelona. Marcelo, not going to leave Real Madrid.
I think
this is the thing that...
You might get some of them out, but not, you're not getting all of them.
That we don't need Galacticos and we need these types of signings. And that's why I find it really frustrating, because all United fans that I speak to are all so negative about it. Like, full-time devils at the moment is like, everyone's crying.
Oh, the comments are horrible.
Stop
the comments.
Believe
there's actually a lot of good comments on the video that I did, how United can win the league, because it was a sensible, calm discussion, and I was like, the transfer window isn't over yet. We are not rolling with the team that we've got. Yes, there's Deadwood I would love to see us get rid of, and yes, I think there's areas for improvement that I think Jose recognises as an improvement, hence the negotiation with potentially Bonucci or Alderweireld, because you can't promote that. You can't promote a 29-year-old through your academy. You don't have someone with 10 years of first-team experience in the academy,
again,
obviously.
I think that's a problem with... Again, it's a problem with United fans that we expect this instant success where, like, we've got to build, man. Like, there's teams with a lot of money these days, right? And like you're saying, you can't promote like that through the academy. So if we come second next season, everyone's going to be calling for Mourinho's head.
Yeah, they already are. They already are.
Like,
people are saying, if we don't win the Champions League or the league,
team.
You have to sack him.
We have a young team. We have such a young team. It takes time for the... Like you're saying, right, there's no decent... Like, I don't think there's no fullbacks that are attainable for Manchester United that aren't playing for a big team that are at that level. Right, there's no fullbacks out there, right?
I liked Odriozola and then fucking got snapped up, didn't
he? Same time, he is nowhere near the top level of fullbacks in European football.
No, not yet, but no, I think he was a gettable one that I would love.
At the same time, he comes into the Premier League, he's going to get bullied because of the Spanish league, very different. There's going to be physical players up against him. Someone like Delo, who is tall, who's strong, you know, he's going to be okay. Someone like that is going to probably find that there's going to have some weaknesses in his game that haven't been exposed in the Liga. But at the same time, it's kind of like this weird mentality where we have young centre-backs, we have Eric Bailly, we have Victor Lindelof. Could be very good, Axel Tuinzebe. But we want this instant solution. Man United is turning in, like, more Man United fans, it's sort of turning into this capitalist thinking about it, where we just need to be like, look, we've got a little young core.
Can imagine Sir Alex took over now.
Yeah, be fine.
Didn't fucking hounded him out.
But that's what I mean. Well, with that as well, like, you think about when Ronaldo came through in 2003, when we won that first FA Cup, was it?
2004, that first season.
The Millwall final, where we won that. Like, we haven't won the league for 3 years. I know it's six now, and it's a different environment because of the club's competitiveness.
No, we'd won time, it when we were champions when he came.
What my point is, basically, we went for a spell of when he came to when he turned up as a player that we didn't win the league, and
it was from then. Like, when he arrived, we didn't win the league until 2007, which was post the World Cup 2006 incident where he was public enemy number one.
Yeah,
and that team was allowed to grow. I remember sitting with Benny, we were doing a podcast with, we was working in the pizza shop. It was outside his house at like 4 o'clock in the morning once, sitting in the car, and we was going through, I think we'd just signed Rooney, so it must have been the summer of 2004, and we was like, look at the team, man, you've got Wes Brown still so young, and we had Rio Ferdinand, and you had Ronaldo, and you had Rooney, and he was like, shit, man, we're going to be fucking wicked in a few years. But it took those years. It literally took those years.
It's going to take that time, and I think the positivity needs to improve around the club, and just like, just be happy.
But that's part of the reason there is negativity, is because Jose's not helping that. And I know that's him, that's Jose, and you kind of just have to shrug your shoulders.
Imagine if Fergie was still here in this age now, people would hate him. Probably. United fans would be on his back all the time. They were, I remember it. Like the calls for Darren Fletcher get dropped every single week, yet Darren Fletcher turns up in all the big games. It's one of these things where open up your mind a little bit and be like Jose Mourinho is one of the greatest managers of all time.
Fact.
That's a fact. That's not me lying.
It's
that's
not an opinion. It's a
someone
fact.
That's won the European Cup with Porto and with Inter Milan. Two teams that were very, very unfavoured. And his methods are his methods.
Not losing a home game in the league for 9 years. You try that. In multiple different... It's not just doing it in one team. Mm. Multiple different places. You fucking try and do that and see what happens. Jose is a hell of a coach. There's issues with him because nobody's perfect. He retired in 2013. Let's be honest, even he wasn't perfect. He had his flaws. But you put aside a lot of the flaws with Jose because he's an extreme winner. And I think the frustration is when you don't get that extreme winning, you go, what the fucking hell are we putting up with this shit for from him? Because he is an abrasive character, and he doesn't do himself favours with the fans, because he doesn't try and embrace the fans in the slightest. It's almost like Jose likes to create an us versus them mentality, but he does it with the fans. Rather than bringing the fans on board and going, let's fuck everyone else.
At the same time, there's that barrier from the fans, like you're saying, that... Like, you're creating this barrier. He's saying stuff to the press. He says things that are very, very deliberate for his players. He's a man motivator down to the T. Right, if he says that we're not playing well today, there's a reason why I'm saying that. He's motivating people. He is one of the best man managers ever in the game of football. And it's one of those things where you need to read into Jose a little bit more. If you think that he's saying these things to be abrasive to the fans, he's not. He's doing something to make something...
No, I don't think he does anything that endears him to the club or to the fans. I don't think in his character, I don't think he gives a shit.
He won the Europa League.
Yeah, I know.
He celebrated that with the fans. He was very vocal about that. When you remember going around the pitch celebrating that with the trophy?
The only time, not so much in the final, because I don't remember it too much, but the only time that he ever showed a bit of a crack in his personality and the front that he puts on was the semi-final win against Celta, and he comes up to the front of the Stretford and he's spinning that scarf around. If he's shown that more...
Yeah, but that's his personality.
I know it is.
You've got to understand that.
I know it is, but it doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, but so he shows you that little glimpse then, right? He has to be the way he is because that's how he's done it in his whole career. He ain't going to change.
I'm not asking him to change, really. I'm just saying he is a part of the problem of the negativity. He doesn't help the negative vibe. He could have come out and the press conference that we're talking about, I think, was probably Thursday last week, I think, might have been Wednesday. He doesn't help himself, is what I'm saying. That's the problem, is that we have a lot of fans that are driven by the media.
He knows how to win. Why does he have to give a shit about Stephen Housen?
I'm not asking him to give a shit about me. I'm saying he could help the negativity.
Your perception of him builds this negativity around it. Your whole perception of how Mourinho is builds this whole media cycle of how Mourinho is.
I'm not a negative guy. I'm a pretty positive guy. But I am. I am, when you look at some of the fucking comments that you'll see online, I get accused of being a Mourinho shill, right? I am all about give people time, give the right people time, and Jose has absolutely earned the right to be given time. But all I'm saying is, he doesn't fucking help himself in the slightest.
Stop being so, upset about it, Steve. It's just football, man.
I think it matters. I think the feeling around the club could be massively improved with his attitude change.
It's not as small as that, man. Like I'm saying, it's fans that contribute to this negative attitude.
Yeah, they do. But look, so we're going to go around in circles here.
You can't just blame it on one person with a whole...
Are you not listening to what I'm saying? I'm not blaming it all on Mourinho. I'm saying he doesn't help.
Then you are. You're saying that he is...
Listen to what I'm saying. No, I'm saying he doesn't help the matter. There is a negative...
You're just using the
fuck me, shut up, interrupting me a minute. The media, which hates United, is a massive fat part to play in that.
Which you all gear is.
Shut up. The fucking fans that feed into that, that are just constantly, Jose out, Jose out, Jose out. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. But all I'm saying is, there's another contributing factor, and that is Jose Mourinho. And he doesn't help himself. I don't understand how you don't understand
what
I'm saying.
You're basically making, you're just saying it in a converse way.
I'm not.
You're basically, like, in mathematics, when you're proving something, you can prove something in a converse way, and you're just saying that, you're just using different language to describe it.
I'm not. I'm showing there's all these different aspects that feed into the feeling of a club. There's the attitude and the personality of the players.
All I'm saying, Steve, is just come on, it's football, right?
Right, yeah, but there's a million different factors that are at play here. One of the factors that are at play is that Jose, when he's given the opportunity to speak to the press and to speak to the public, he didn't choose that opportunity. Yeah, and I know that he's trying to motivate players in certain ways. And I know I'm one of the guys that says, don't listen to everything that you hear in a press conference. There's always an agenda behind everything that's being said. But there's a time and a place. When you go into a pre-season, when you go onto a pre-season tour, you want positivity. Am I right, am I wrong? You want positivity.
Yeah, at the same time, right, so have you watched the whole press conference?
Yeah.
The whole 20-minute press conference?
No, I watched the clips of the press conference.
This is what I'm saying. You're watching the clips.
Right, but either way, what he's being said.
So you just mentioned, right, you've got the big fat media hates Man United. You are jumping on that. Because you're not watching the whole thing. It's like when you watch a player and you're like, he's not a good player because I watched the highlight compilation. Like, we know people.
No, hold on, this is different though. This is different because he didn't say stuff that was eliminated from there. I've read all of the quotes from the press conference and watched the highlights of it. So he comes across negatively.
Have you read that from a newspaper?
It was the Independent, I think.
There you go. So the newspaper always carrying an anti-United agenda, which you mentioned before. Mm. That's what I'm saying. I'm not like. My point is that you've always got to look at the bigger picture when you're looking at things.
No, but when someone just quotes the words he says, that I'm not being guided.
You don't know the whole. You're like, you haven't felt the whole press conference. Like, you haven't felt that. Oh, Mason Greenwood, you know, he came on very exciting. That is Chong. You know, he mentioned Chong. He said Chong is a very exciting player.
No, you're looking at the different fucking press conference. I haven't seen the post match one. I'm talking about the one that he did before they started the tour when he was like. Oh yeah, Sanchez can't come. This is really bad. He said this is really bad about fucking seven times in it.
But he's just got bad news that Alexis Sanchez has potential issues with the tax situation. So I know. Can't get on the tour. If you've just had that piece of paper,
this is what I'm saying, Dave. There's an attitude way to do it. But there's a way to do it.
Again, you don't know the situation of Mourinho's day, for example. Like I'm saying, he's just realised. Oh shit, Sanchez is. Can't come on
yeah,
tour.
I know. Sanchez not being on the tour is a nightmare.
That's what I mean. Like, you're feeding into this pile of rubbish over here.
No, I'm literally fucking hell, Dave. I can't believe we're just going to do this entire podcast of me arguing that fucking Mourinho's negative and you saying he's not.
That's not my point. My point is about this pile of horse crap over here.
I fucking completely understand media narrative. I totally understand media narrative.
But you're falling into it.
No, I'm not falling into it. He didn't give... I can see when someone's misrepresenting something that Jose says, which has happened a hell of a lot. It happens all the time. That didn't happen last week. What happened last week is he gave one of the most fucking negative press conferences. Actually, it wasn't Independent. It was United's fucking website that I read it on, and then I watched the highlights of. There was no fucking narrative at play
on the
United site.
The whole thing, man.
If there was anything positive, don't you think United report the positive? Because they're pretty much under instructions to report the positive. There was nothing positive. It was one of the grossest press conferences I've ever seen.
But you haven't seen it. This
oh,
is the thing.
Fuck's
sake. Seen the highlights of it.
Fuck me, Dave. We've just wasted an entire podcast talking about your fucking misinterpretation of
my
what I'm trying to say.
I watched it. I'm interpreting things, and I'm telling you that you've not watched the bigger picture. You've taken quotes from press conference or highlights.
Yeah, and United are putting
at
out
the same
it.
Time
it's only negative.
Thing.
Well,
like
either way,
saying, we don't know the bigger
either
picture,
way,
and that's
was,
the big problem.
It was fucking negative, and in my opinion. Right, let's just leave it at this. In my opinion, Jose Mourinho had the opportunity to put a positive spin on what is going on, and he chose not to do that. He come out and he goes, not having all my players is bad, right? And he's not wrong. What's happening with Alexis Sanchez is bad, but he's not focusing on the positives at all. He's not looking for positives. He's not coming out and saying, but there's an opportunity here. If these young lads come out and absolutely tear it up, there's a place at stake in my first team.
You watched the whole thing.
If them comments existed, they would have been reported, especially by United. They didn't. What's your expectation for next season?
We're going to win the league.
Because I'm sorry that we just wasted 47 minutes of your time just fucking chatting utter macka about that fucking thing. But I think you guys will probably agree a lot of the time.
Media narratives and that. I need to address these points because it's a frustrating thing. It's frustrating for me as a football fan to see that. Like, I like football, it's fun, but it seems very negative at the moment. I want to address that now because this is a forum to do that. And that's why I want to address this problem of not looking at the bigger picture. And in terms of the bigger picture for United, if they make these signings they made, if they, you know, even if they don't make any signings, they've made the correct signing so far. They've got these young players. Like, Chong is going to have a very good pre-season. He will be in and around the first team squad. We know he's a very talented player. We've also got the likes of Lingard, Lukaku, Paul Pogba coming back. There's a lot of different components of this team that you can look at and you go, you know, why not?
When I did a video last week, if you've not seen it, go and check it out, how United can win the title this season. I didn't look at most of the games where United dropped points. I think if you turned around one of the mad defeats, Newcastle, Huddersfield, you keep that defeat to City and at home. You keep that defeat away to Spurs, as frustrating as it is. You keep that defeat to Chelsea in the mix there. You keep all of those games, and you even keep some of them fucking stupid draws in the mix as well. But just turn around that run of three games, I think it was in December, where we drew three back-to-back. Inexplicable. That's going to give us an extra 6 points. I think it puts us on 86 or 87 points going into next season.
Yeah.
That would have been enough for a title challenge. I don't think City get anywhere near 100 points this year. And I think if they're 10, 12 points worse off, I think we're in a title challenge. And I think in terms of the negativity, the positivity, the attitude around the club, if we come second and it's only a couple of points, I know they will, but I hope that there's no fucking crucifying of everybody if we fail again. Because, you know, I saw Sir Alex Ferguson, like I said before, go 2004, 2005, 2006. When Mourinho's team turned up in 2005, 2006, I can remember the newspaper article saying Fergie's lost it. He's past it. This is the new breed of manager. And that is exactly what's happening with Jose Mourinho at the minute. He's old. He's the fucking dinosaur. His ways aren't fucking thingy. But you know what he's got in his pocket? Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick, two people brand new to the game. McKenna doing fucking wonderful things with the 18s. I think it could be. They could go two ways with this. The fact that he's lost through Farrier, there could be a part of Jose that's like, I'm fucking done in a year anyway, bollocks to it. Or it could be, this is the evolution of Jose Mourinho with a new coaching staff, and you might see him reinvigorated, which I don't think anyone's fucking accounting for. Everyone's shitting it about Liverpool because they made a load of signings. I got a long memory, man. Liverpool haven't won that league in 28 years. And every single season, when he signed Patrick Berger in 96, this is the fucking guy that's going to tip him over the edge when he plays with Robbie Fowler up front. When Rafa Benitez was signing, I know, every fucker, including Fernando Torres.
But at the same time, you've got to realise that they've just bought the best player in the Bundesliga, one of the best players in the Bundesliga, outside Bayern Munich. They've just bought one of the best defensive midfielders in European football in the last few seasons.
Sané's been fantastic.
They've just bought probably the best goalkeeper in the Champions League last season.
Certainly the best one available.
No, the best keeper in the Champions League.
Anyway.
So this is something where you can't say that it's like Patrick Berger because they've actually bought really well. And that's.
But they bought well in the past.
It's going to be that's why it's going to be, the Premier League's going to be so good next season, because you have United, City, Liverpool, which will be the guys in and around the top three places. You've got Sarri, you've got Emery, you've got all these guys that are coming into the Premier League. And again, it's going to be a mad Premier League season. And it's almost like it's going to be exciting.
Oh, God, it's going to be mental.
And that's the where we should be painting this Premier League, is like, there's so much tactical flexibility and different styles and contrasting different things. Like, Mourinho's going to absolutely batter Sarri. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sarri has one plan. That's his plan. When he comes up against teams like that, a coach like Mourinho's teams, he usually falls short against these sides. That's kind of what that is. That's going to be really fun. Hitting Jorginho at defensive midfield is going to be a, you know, hell of fun situation. Can Liverpool do the same? Can Mo Salah be the same player? Probably not. Like, the season last season was amazing, but that shoulder injury, I'd be targeting that if I was playing against him. That's the game. I know that you've got a weak shoulder, so I'd be doing the similar thing with Sergio Ramos. Whenever we're grappling, I'd be trying
pulling
to
you. Just one arm you,
popping your shoulder out. At the same time, City have to do the same again. The signing of Mahrez is a good signing, but does it disbalance the squad? We don't know. What happens to, for example, Raheem Sterling, who I believe is a wonderful, wonderful gifted footballer? Where does he evolve next? There's a lot of questions around this team, and United have signed the holes that they needed to sign, and that's why it's going to be good.
I don't think United have quite finished yet, which is, I think, why a lot of people are frustrated. But I totally agree that you don't need a Galactico. If we signed another Bay or Lindelof level, but what you just said, when United signed, you know, the best player, you said Liverpool have signed the best player here, the best player there. You can catch your mind back a couple of years ago. United brought in Zlatan, one of the best players in France. United brought in Pogba, one of the best players in Italy. United brought in Mkhitaryan, one of the best players in Germany. It didn't work.
But, so these are the best players for me. This is me. This is me from watching these guys play. This is me from going, holy shit, this guy's really good.
This is the unquantifiable. You know, for example, going to blend.
Fabinho, some player that played at United should have bought last season. We all know United should have bought him last season. Let's not beat around the bush. He's a very, very good central midfielder, and he can play left back, right back, centre back. He's a very flexible player. Like, I'm looking at him and going, in this Liverpool team, he's going to be really good. Same with Naby Keita is a wonderful ball player, a little bit like Paul Pogba, maybe a little bit more direct when he's on the ball, but a really good player. And then you're thinking Alisson, some of the saves that he made last season. You think of the game like against Shakhtar, you think in the game against early doors against Barcelona, for example. Like, this keeper is really good. And there's one position they've upgraded, a keeper, which they needed. Karius.
They've definitely upgraded that.
For all the good stuff Karius has done, there's been some bad stuff as well. You think in central midfield, they played with three workers. They've now got a worker and a guy that can actually play football really to a really high level. And they're three signings where you're like, whoa, this is good signings. And the interesting side is that, the other side of that, the media, where like, oh, Liverpool just most expensive centre-half, most expensive goalkeeper. Football's just football these days, right? You can't... It's more like a trade where you no longer think, I am paying this amount of money. Like we saw with Paul Pogba. Mm-hmm. It's, at the end of the day, as a fan, you don't pay for it. Like, if you get this signing, we saw Virgil van Dijk, right? Liverpool don't get to the Champions League final without Virgil van Dijk. Is a centre-half pairing of Matip and Dejan Lovren getting to a Champions League final? Absolutely not. So you see what van Dijk did, and then you're seeing what Alisson's going to come in and bring. I'd say at fullback, maybe. Trent Alexander-Arnold had a wonderful year. Robertson had a good year. Can they keep that consistent level? We don't know. How that blends with the new midfield, we don't know. There's obviously questions, but it's going to be another exciting Premier League team and Premier League season. That's kind of the good tip. We've had a good World Cup, and now we're going to have a good Premier League.
Right, I need to wrap it up because I've got a video that I need to shoot. Dave's got a train that he needs to get, but I'm sure part two of this we will sort out. Dave's just dropped on his channel this weekend a video about Chong, which you definitely need to go and check out. So I'll throw a link to that in the description or the comments. Anything you want to plug?
Nah.
Oh, fuck off then. Thanks for watching. See you in a bit.